We've been working together since August of last year. A lot's happened. We've had a total of 21 sessions, and counting today, we've got four more. A little of today's session will sound redundant, and I don't apologize for that. One of my mentors said you can never say the right thing too many times. Repetition's important, so bear with me. It's intentional. Tell me where you stand on your practice overview, Paul.
So, you know, you responded, I agreed with you 100%. I just didn't like the way the whole thing was worded. And so I decided to rewrite the whole thing in terms of, you know, I put a little bit more time into it to really absorb it. So I would say it's pretty much done. It's on my home computer, but, yeah, I'd say I'm going to start using it. I was going to ask you, actually, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, as I'm doing the VIPSA, the plan is send them this as a hard copy or a soft copy was one of my questions, or both. And how do I, you know, how do I implement this into the conversation?
That's one of the things I'm going to specifically cover. Paul, it's a really good question. It's one of the reasons that there's a little repetition today. So let me get to that in just a second, okay?
Sure.
Is there anything in your practice that you aren't getting done because of lack of knowledge? Is there something that you're not comfortable with? And I'm not saying there is. I just want to throw that. Is there any knowledge you're lacking to keep you from implementing what you've learned so far in Supernova?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. Well, then, and then here's the follow up question: are there things that you understand, but it's a matter of execution? And what I'm getting at here is: are we talking about going deeper on some things, or are we talking about you've got that, you feel comfortable with where you are, you just haven't executed as well as you would like to? Do you understand the question?
I understand the question. You know, so, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, maybe I am wrong, but, you know, the only thing that we're lacking that I could see right now is I think we're actually producing at the best rate right now that I've ever produced that in terms of our execution and how we're doing things. The area that we're lacking is bringing in more clients. And, you know, when I talk to other advisors, they tell me that's the times we're in. I don't know if that's the case. Seems to me when times of tragedy, a lot of times that can turn into an opportunity, but I don't know. So the only thing I think we're lacking is new money and new clients. And I do think that the clients are seeing the quality of service they're receiving. As I'm doing the annual reviews, I'm having delightful conversations with clients, and they're very happy. And so, you know, I mean, that being said, is that, you know, a lot of money was made this year, so I'm sure that's part of it. So I think that, and we're getting a lot of financial planning. You know, we're you know, fee-based financial planning, we're doing, you know, two or three a month. I had a log jam here last month that I had to ask Suzanne to stop putting them in the system because I have too many to do. So, you know, so I think the practice is doing a lot of very good things. It's fully functional. It's fully operating. But getting that new referrals, that new money, hasn't happened yet. So I think maybe, you know, I've kind of told myself that I just keep trying and it'll come. in time. And I remember with when I first started at Edward Jones years ago, it took, you know, when I was new at the business, it probably took 3 or 4 years before I started getting referrals. I don't think it'll take that long this time. But it is a new practice in a lot of ways. We're in a new town. You know, I'm new to a lot of the people I'm seeing. And in the area, I'm new to all of them. So they're, I don't have that, you know, I knew everybody in my building before, and I knew everybody that I, all the accountants in town. I don't have that here. So I have to rebuild all that. So, you know, that takes time. So I don't know. That's my thoughts. I desperately would love to hear what you think, but, you know, I'm very interested in that conversation. But I've asked this same question before, though. So if I'm repeating myself, I apologize.
No. And you and I are headed in the same direction. The question you asked me earlier, and I said I'd get to it, and what I'm getting ready to get into, they collide here in about 5 minutes.
I thought so.
It took you 3 to 4 years at Jones to really start getting referrals, is what I've got written down here. You said a second ago. Think of what you were when you were. Do you realize how little you knew when you started in this business?
I knew so little. I was out knocking on doors. I had 900 doors that I was keeping track of whenever I was knocking on doors back then.
So. Yeah. So, but what you were inviting people into at the beginning at Jones wasn't anything like what you're inviting people into now. Your practice today is a much better practice just because you've got experience now. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you go up and knock on a door, and that's as hard as it gets. I mean, when you go out and knock on a random door, if you did that today, and I'm not recommending it, but if you did that today, you would have much better success than you had when you first started at Jones. You had nothing to sell at Jones except you were eager. You wanted to establish a relationship. What you're offering people today is much different from Jones, right?
I think so. Yeah, I believe. I know. Yeah, I know so for sure. Yeah,
I think your practice today is different from what it was when we started on August 25th of last year. You have refined your practice significantly. You've earned the right to be. Take this word, more aggressive in your referral conversations. Now, aggressive isn't grabbing somebody by the, you know, by the tie and saying, listen here, you got to do this. It's being consistently, just consistently in referral mode. Now, I'm going to go a couple of sessions ago. I told you about getting a call from an advisor in North Carolina. And his business went from $3.5 million to $5 million. And he called me to thank me for helping it happen. Now my point in telling you that story is it wasn't me, it was him, because he implemented Supernova well, and it was his process. Let me keep going. Getting off mark here. This team isn't working with small accounts. Their minimum is $2.5 million. That's their minimum. The point is, he is providing what clients want. We're not talking about a way to grow your business a little bit or grow your business with small relationships. He has gone from 2, 3.5 to over 5, doing the same things that the three of us have been talking about since August. What he's doing is giving people what they want. What do people want? What's the number one thing people want, clients want, and prospects want? You know this.
I think they want our They want to hear from us. They want us to reach out to them.
They want
to talk to us.
They want great service. They want to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, I don't know how much the market's gone up since we've started talking. I know it's significant. You've led people through that. You had clients, I'm sure, who somewhere during all this turmoil, COVID and so on, if you'd have just hinted that you thought it was time to sell, they would have sold.
So, Rob, I'm not as big as that guy. I would like to get as big as that guy is, but let me just tell you, our numbers, our total GDC from this time last year is up 73%. Our trailing GDC, meaning our transactions, are up 77%. Our financial planning, advice service fees is what they call it here, it's up 232%. I mean, we're, like I said, we're doing all the things we should be doing. Therefore, I have to believe that the referrals will come. And the clients are happy. The referrals will come. That's what I believe. But maybe I should be more aggressive.
I am, first of all, I'm not comparing your practice to this guy's practice. He's been at it longer than you. Don't take it. You know, your percentage numbers are better. My point in I'm making is.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we're growing, and I'm complimenting you. That's what I'm saying. We're growing in a way that is very meaningful, though, I think. And I'm not comparing, I'm not trying to do any of that. Maybe I'm presenting it wrong. But what I am saying is that I understand what that guy is saying. That it works. It works. It works. It works. I know it works.
All right.
I don't know why it's not working. I know it works. I just can't figure out why it's not working.
I'm going to explain it to you the way I used to explain it to FAs who would give me the same. We'd be talking about the same thing. Think about a big funnel, a huge funnel, and you're working your tail off, and you're throwing things in the top of the funnel, and then because we all want immediate gratification, you run down and you cup your hands at the bottom of the funnel, and nothing comes out. And you say, "Hell, I'm working hard. There's nothing coming out." So you know what you do? You throw some more at the top, and stuff starts maybe to trickle out a little. You bang on the side of the funnel, and nothing comes out that's commensurate with work you're doing. So now you're throwing more in, and all of a sudden you go run down to the bottom of the funnel, and you cup your hands, and things start coming in on a regular basis. And because you're working hard and things are coming out the bottom, it's not the same thing. What you throw in the top of the funnel today doesn't fall out tomorrow, but it feels like it's immediate gratification because you're throwing things in and it's coming out. And the bad thing is when you stop throwing things in the funnel, pretty soon it dries up. So you're banging on the side of the funnel, but because you're throwing things in and it's not coming out as quickly as you want. So where does this take us? Clients and prospects like what you're doing. That's obvious by your numbers. I mean, up 73%, up 232%. Those fabulous numbers. The second thing, here's where we're going to collide. Our goal is to get you in front of more people. That is the goal. If I said, Paul, between now and our last scheduled meeting, I can guarantee one thing. I can't. If I said I can guarantee you one thing, you would say, I want to grow. I want to get in front of more people. So that really is our focus. And the third thing is your clients are bringing in more money, but you're not getting referrals to new clients. In my notes, you said it. We talked about it before. How do we get that done? That's really the key. How do we get you in front of more people? Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Let's talk about the acquisition strategies we've used. Let's talk the first one is now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to tie your practice overview to these acquisition strategies. okay, you asked at the beginning, you know, do I email it to them? Do I hand it to them? You know, how do I do this? And I said, I'll get to it. Here we go. All right, with VPSA, say you're having a VPSA, somebody's come in, and in my notes I've got here, what did you say? Having great conversations with clients during the reviews. So you've just gone through a review, you've begun to implement a plan, whatever, and the client says, gosh, Paul, this is really good. I sleep better at night because you are, I can tell you're on top of this thing. You got it. I'm not going to worry anymore. Is that a recognition of value?
Yes.
Okay. It's a big recognition of value. So when's the best time to have a referral conversation? When value is given by you and recognized by the client. That was a big recognition. And what do you say? Well, thank you for saying that. We work really hard to provide that level of guidance. And then you pause and you've confirmed that you've heard them, and then you ask, do you know anyone else who might appreciate the same type of guidance I'm giving to you? And let's say she says, well, I can't think of anybody right now. And I'm not going to go through all of VPSA. I will kind of quickly. And you say, do you have a minute to brainstorm? Do you have a minute to think about it? Well, sure, Paul. Sure, I'm happy. What do you? Well, is there anybody else you know who might appreciate what you've gotten from me? Is there? And then you brainstorm. You know, anybody you go to church with, you play golf with, all through those. Gosh, I'm not, Paul. I know exactly what you're asking me, but nothing's come to mind. Well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. And then you say, what I've put together here, I want to share something with you. I've put together an overview of my practice, and I've put it together for a couple of reasons. Number one, if I would ever disappoint you, Ms. Jones, versus what you're going to see here in the overview of my practice, I'd really appreciate it if you let me know so I could correct it immediately, if I'd ever disappoint you. The other reason is, if you would ever run into anyone, identify somebody who needs help from us, you could specifically describe our practice. So you hand that to her. It's on nice paper. It's in the right font. You decide the right. It's got to look pretty. You know what I mean. And she says, well, this is fabulous. Now, what does this do? The next time, first of all, you have planted a seed. I've used this example before. She's out playing golf, and her best friend, all she does for 18 holes is complain about the lack of service she's getting from Merrill Lynch in this example. And then she says, well, I work with a fellow named Paul Farrell. He's fabulous. We meet on a schedule we talk on a monthly basis. We have four quarterly reviews. Does planning, all these things. She can specifically describe your practice. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Now, you're also, you know, I talked before about being aggressive, and aggressive is not really the right word, but consistent and constant. Are a good word. So she's got that. You've been made it a little bit easier for her to refer you. You with me on this?
Yeah.
And I trust you to know when the right time to do it is. It's just like when we talked early on in acquisition. If every time you saw a client, you asked for a referral every time, that would feel a little aggressive to me. But if you're constantly bringing it up, Ms. Jones, in our last quarterly review, you said some really nice things about what Suzanne and I do. And I mentioned to you at that time, asked if there was anyone else that could use our help. Have you had time to think about that? Well, Paul, frankly, yes, I have. My brother-in-law really needs to talk to you. He's just gotten a promotion, and he's got more money. Well, terrific. I'd love to talk with him. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? So, well, here, remember that I gave you last time we got together, I gave you that overview of my practice. Would that be a good thing for you to talk with him about? I'm just making this up. What you're doing, if you're consistently talking about it, and let me do one more thing. Remember how I taught you how to track your referral conversations?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you put that in there in your referral conversations. Had a conversation with Ms. Jones. Her brother needs my help. Whatever. So you can all, you know, next time you have your meeting. Did you get a chance to talk to your brother-in-law about the, you know, what I want you to do is consistently keep it in front of your people on a professional basis. My dentist has a card rack, a business card rack on, when you check in right there. You know, he says, I forget how he says it, but the most biggest compliment you could give me is a referral to somebody else. I don't really like that, but my point is he's a professional. How does he build his business? He builds his business through referrals. The same with attorneys. So this is you. When you're talking to people, you're getting good feedback. You're doing fee-based planning. That takes a commitment. At Merrill Lynch, we gave it away. You're getting paid for it. That shows that you're doing something special. So do you understand that? I'm not going to ask you a question. There's a significant difference between beating people up for a referral, which nobody likes, including you, versus consistently talking about something that's important to your practice. If these people love you and like what you're doing, they want to refer. You just got to make it easy for them. When you have a BIPSA conversation, it's always nice to be able to give somebody that that overview of your practice. How would you work it into a conversation with a center of influence? You've got somebody who's consistently giving you referrals. A conversation along the lines of, Bill, I was before you came in, I was just reviewing your folder. And you have referred three really good clients to me, and I really appreciate it. I have put together an overview of my practice. So for two reasons, number one, if I ever disappoint you versus these goals, what I say I'm going to do, I'd appreciate you letting me know. Also, if you run into anybody else who you think would benefit from our services, I would like for you to be able to describe what I do specifically. If you were having an enthusiastically endorsed conversation, you know, Ms. Jones, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Yeah, I love my CPA. Well, I like to think I know the good CPAs in the area. Do you mind if I pick up the phone and call him and introduce myself? Use your name. No, I'm happy for you to do that. Well, you make an appointment. They'll go out. You go out and see the person, and you say, "Miss Jones has said some great things about my practice. I wanted you to be able to show you what it looks like. What anybody you would refer to me, what they would get." When somebody gives you a referral, they're taking a risk. A CPA is taking a risk, right?
Sure.
If you blow the client up, they're going to lose a client too, probably, if they've been referred in. If that CPA sees that you offer quarterly, monthly contact with quarterly reviews, rapid response to problems, questions, inquiries, fully implemented planning, all those things, then all of a sudden they're not referring to a stock jock. they're referring to somebody who runs a financial planning practice. So if you go through, have you used the enthusiastically endorsed question with your clients?
I just did it the other day, yeah. I got a new lawyer and a new accountant by doing that. So, well, at least not when I say got a new one. I got new. I have them as new prospects in my system to go out and introduce myself to.
Yeah, have you talked to them yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay. I would ask you to consider them a prospect after you've talked to them. Right now, what you're looking for is a favorable introduction. I mean, you did everything right, but we're talking about repetition here. This is a hard time to get. Well, it's a hard time to get in front of CPAs. Taxes are due in 4 days. But to call that, let's say you're calling the attorney. And you get screened, and your response is, my name is Paul Farrell, Mr. Jones, and I have a common client. I'd like to talk with you about what I do. Something along those lines. You got to bring the client's name into it. So. Again, we're talking about putting focus on here, Paul. You did the right thing. The next, but right now they're a name, so you want to pick up the phone and call that person as quickly after that referral as you can. Now, the very best is one client. A client gives you the if a client says, "Yeah, you need to talk to my attorney." What's the next thing out of your mouth?
What's his name? What's their name?
The next thing out of your mouth is, thank you, I would love to do that. You confirm the action. The next thing is, if you were me, finish the sentence. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them? And then you shut up. Remember that line? I hate to say a line. It sounds manipulative.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, I would love to do that. If you were me, Ms. Jones, how would you go about getting in front of them? Well, what works best for you? Well, the best thing that worked best is for you to call them and tell them to expect my call. Those people get called a lot. It's always nice to for them to know why. It helps me get in front of them if you told them that I'm going to be giving you a call. So a client knows better. You know, go back to the golf example. If you were me, the lady's complaining about Merrill Lynch. You need to talk to my brother-in-law. He's at Merrill Lynch and he hates it. Your response is terrific. I'd love to talk with him. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? Well, we play golf every Tuesday and have lunch before, why don't you meet us and I'll introduce you? I mean, that's as good as it gets. But do you see, there's a difference between a prospect and a name. Until you get in front of them, they're a name. And the way you get in front of them is using your client's name to get through the screen. What do you do when you get in front of that CPA or attorney? You have your practice overview. Mr. Jones, I know you get loads of calls. Everybody promising everything. I have a brief overview of what my clients receive. It might help you in describing my practice to your anybody who might be a candidate to work with me. So let's begin the landing here. Number one thing we want to accomplish between now and the last scheduled call is to get work on getting you in front of more people. Agreed?
Yeah.
All right. You're doing the right things. You're doing the right things. You're filling the funnel. I hope you see how this practice overview is something that it just it's different. Very few people are doing it, especially when you get to that part. What you expect of your clients? That's a sign of strength. I'll promise things to you. This is what I expect from my clients. I expect people to return phone calls promptly. I expect people to keep scheduled appointments, whatever it is. That's just reasonable. That shows organization. So let me just jump to one thing quickly here. You got a couple more minutes?
Sure.
You remember we talked about the James Lehrer book about eating well and getting sleep and all that, the power of full engagement?
Yes.
I want page 205, and you don't have to get it now in that book. You bought the book, correct?
Yeah, I have it. I have the electronic version of it. Yeah.
I want you to look at page 205. It's called Most Important Physical Energy Management Strategies. In the book, it's page 205. And just look at it and just make sure that you are following this closely. Remember we talked about energy, and I could tell there's this goes way back to the beginning with us. I could tell you had a higher level of energy after you had gone through that book. So just, go to bed early, wake up early. Now I know you got school and all that other things, but just make sure that you're living well, in a healthy way, which gives you more energy, which allows you to work fewer hours, which allows you to go home and do the things that recharge you for the next day. And then on page 206, it's just a list of high, moderate, and low glycemic index examples. You want to be eating almonds, not bagels. Bagels are not good for you. But again, they just, if you remember, one of the things Jim Lehrer talks about is eating, keeping your furnace, your metabolism up, having little small snacks during the day, and you want to be snacking from almonds, not chocolate bars. And it gives you a list of all those things to avoid and all those things that keep your energy level up. So as we look at today, as we look toward next month, I usually assign homework. What homework would you assign yourself? What's the most important thing for you to get done between now and our next meeting?
I think to finish completely my PO, my practice my practice outline
Go ahead.
It's pretty much finished. It's just a matter of I wanted to change one paragraph that I didn't like at the very beginning. So I have a good paragraph at home. I'm going to implement it. So I'm going to print it, get it working for me. Get it in process, working, okay, rather than sitting on my computer.
Now remember, it's got to be compliance approved. This is viewed as like a mass mailing because you're giving it to all your clients. At least it used to be. Just make sure you got compliance on your side. Before you start using it, I'd like to see it and review it.
All right.
Anything else? Or is that enough for the, I got a suggestion.
Okay.
You ready? I would see how many times that you are, that you are using one of the acquisition models. VIPSA, the niche expansion. That's if you got 10 of something. Do you remember that? Do you remember that niche expansion conversation?
Yep.
Okay, just to give you a brief overview, let's say business owners are a niche for you. You got to have three reasons you like working with that. You're talking to a small business owner, and you say something along the lines, "Do you have a second to give me some advice?" People like to give advice. I really enjoy working with business owners. You all understand risk. You're focused on your business and need help, and you have complex needs. Do you know any business owners who I should be talking with? That's how you expand a niche. If you got five business owners, those five could take you to 10, which take you to 20, whatever, any niche. You use them to find out how to get in front of other people. Do you know anyone else who would appreciate any other business owners who would appreciate what I do? Yeah. Well, you need to talk to Bill Jones. He owns a fabricating company. I'd love to talk with Bill. Well, if you were me, how would be the best way to get in front of him? Well, we get a bunch of small business owners like myself get together once a month and have coffee. Why don't you come and I'll introduce you to a couple of them. The people who know how to get in front of other people, other business owners, are those business owners. They're busy, but they know how to get in front of other business owners in this example. Or, yeah, Paul, I play golf with a guy who makes a ton of money. Small business owners, I always want to tell you about their buddies who make a lot of money, always pretending that they're not making any money. I got a buddy who I play golf with every Wednesday. Why don't you come out and have lunch with us? You got to ask the question. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them? So I would ask you to track your VIPSA conversations, your niche expansion conversations, and your enthusiastically endorsed conversations. Again, just get them in the flow. I'm not talking about having to close somebody, but I just want it to be part of what you do. All right, so you're going to work on your practice overview, and then you're going to track VIPSA, niche expansion, and enthusiastically endorsed conversations. All right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll get you a invitation so we can all Zoom each other.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
All right. All right. Good to talk with you. Suzanne, anything else?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you next month, Paul.
All right. Talk to you then. Thank you.
You bet.